Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Thanks for joining us today as we talk about financial matters. Both myself and my co-host here, Pat, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays with people like yourself. Come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air.
So, we're in our 21st year?
23rd year.
On the radio.
Yeah, because we started doing this before my oldest was born.
23 She's years.
22 now.
You think we'd be better. After that?
You know what's funny?
It's like 1,000 shows. You think you'd be better. We'd be better. What? Well, my apologies to the
Yeah, listeners. You can't even get the words correct.
I know. That's what my point is.
That's
being.
The stuff we don't.
Yeah, we.
You know, though, it's funny. The first year or two we did the program, we would listen to the show every week, critique ourselves. We certainly got better at lots of things. It started becoming a little too produced, and it lost a little bit of just kind of the interaction between the two of us. And we found that when we went a little lighter, looser on the production, let the calls come in, talk about what's happening, what our thoughts are in certain things in the economy and whatnot, it became better.
And no artifice. It's you're going to get our real opinion. It's not going to be sugar-coated to make you feel good if, in fact, you need to hear the right answer.
No, we'll be nice about it.
We'll try to be.
And won't insult you.
Yes, because if you don't like the person giving you the advice, you will not take it.
But we've helped people with advice, financial advice, with people with tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to nothing.
Nothing.
Tens of thousands, actually, hundreds negative, of thousands of debt.
Negative numbers, yes.
Yeah, lots of people.
So if you numbers. Have a question and you find yourself in either one of those situations.
Somewhere in the middle.
Which is where most Americans
hopefully
are.
Hopefully closer to the million side than the negative side.
Yes.
So that would just be a good place to be.
To join the show, it's 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-242-6766.
Yeah, love to take your call.
Can actually go to our website, hansonmclean.com, and you can type in a question there as well.
Yeah. And you know, this program, Pat and I are starting something new. We're launching in just a couple weeks here. Actually, on June 28th, it's a live webinar, but it's different than a webinar because it's a series called The Five. And we spend 5 minutes bantering different types of topics. So it's a 5 minute type thing. And Pat and I will discuss things like future of Social Security, how people make investment decisions, stuff, not where it's necessarily controversial between the two of us, but where there might be some difference in opinion, and we'll have some lively debate and discussion. And
sometimes it gets a little too lively. I believe that there might be fists
thrown. Oh, yeah. Well, you did come with from an Irish family. Oh,
there was nothing. There
four
was,
boys in your family?
Yeah, four boys and a girl. It was an argument.
All
in
within,
our,
under, with 4 years?
Yeah,
all within 4 years.
Almost Irish twins, but in our family, there was no such thing as a mellow argument. It was not, you know.
Well, fortunately, Pat and I have been working together for 20-some-odd years, and we've never gotten to a fist fight
yes.
yet. But it might happen on The Five. And wouldn't that be interesting if the first fist fight we had was during our live webinar on June 28th in Sacramento?
We'd get our ratings.
Maybe. We might lose the business.
But we'd get the ratings.
Clients would be fleeing in droves. What happened to all of our clients? I thought we had 10,000 or so clients we helped.
We'd be a YouTube sensation.
Yeah. I don't know how sensational that would be. It would be one of those flameouts, one of those names that you never heard of before, and then you can't.
We'd like for 4 days, we'd be on the top of the news, and then never
totally
again.
Forgot about. Completely forgot about. Anyway, 1-888-2 Hanson to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And let's go to the calls here. Let's start off with Mike in the Bay Area.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling us, Mike.
Well, yeah. Well, I appreciate it. I want to start by kind of complimenting you guys. I've been listening to your podcast for about a year and a half, and I've learned a fair bit. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, so kind of keep up the good work. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah, straightforward question for you. I'm wondering, and I guess I want your recommendation, what initial withdrawal rate should I use from a portfolio that is designed almost exclusively for discretionary expenses in retirement? And kind of a parallel question, in your experience with clients who have enough money to have a discretionary budget, how does that spending change over time?
Yeah, that's all. We had this discussion at, we had a like hour and a half meeting today with some folks internally, and we were talking about the financial plan, and we said so many of the financial planning programs out there are these linear things, right, where it's start out at some percentage and increase it with inflation. And we were Pat and I were sharing with some folks in our IT department and our marketing department about what really happens in retirement,
because it's not linear. Life happens, right? And a financial plan, by its very nature, is just a series of numbers on a page that they use spreadsheets
based on assumptions.
But the thing that changes is health changes, children changes, marital status changes, work changes. Some people return to the workplace not because they have to, but because they want to.
Sometimes
they miss that.
They move.
Yeah. So,
but, so kind of the standard is that what real of that 4% is kind of a rule of thumb. But I mean, if someone was 50 years old and said they're going to retire in this market, I'd probably say I wouldn't feel comfortable with a 4% with figuring you're going to grow it with inflation each year. But then again, if somebody's 75, I'd be
comfortable with an 8% distribution.
Yeah, maybe 8, yeah, depending. Yeah.
Right. So tell us a little bit about your situation. You say this is discretionary. Is it inside of an what's that?
Oh, yeah. So let me give you a little background. Okay. So I'll address the age question. When we retire, I'll be 65. My wife will be 60.
Okay.
Longevity runs in her family. Her dad is alive at 95. Her mom is alive at 86. Good chance she could be alive at 100.
Yeah.
Okay. Right?
Or longer, maybe, with today's tech.
Yeah. You never know. We will have about 100% of our estimated basic retirement expenses covered by guaranteed income. That's a combination of Social Security, pension, and some single premium immediate annuities. So the annuities and the pension go up by 2% a year.
And when did you buy these single premium immediate annuities?
Have you called a show before? Months ago? Okay, I remember, because nobody buys single premium annuities.
You got a great memory.
Nobody buys single premium annuities with an inflation kicker on them.
I remember the call because you were going direct to the companies and you were buying no load. And our recommendation to you, if I'm not mistaken, it was a while ago, is that you may want to hold off on purchasing these single premium immediate annuities.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
I always hate annuities. And I did a workshop a couple weeks back, and it was, I said, there are times that I mentioned the single premium annuity, but only sometimes. Anyway.
But it bore out to be, in fact, correct that you're better off waiting in this rising interest rate environment.
So you've got all your fixed expenses are going to be covered by those monthly income sources.
And how much money will you have in discretionary? Is it inside IRAs or outside of IRAs?
Outside. All non-qualified funds outside of IRAs. And because the basic expenses are covered by the annuity, pension, Social Security, and the annuities and pension go up by 2% a year, we got these non-qualified funds that we're going to use for discretionary expenses.
And how much is
travel
in there?
About $2.5 million.
So what was the question?
What's a comfortable...
What's the appropriate withdrawal rate?
So you could take out $100,000 a year.
That's a 4%.
Yeah.
And would you
so the issue the issue you've got is the longevity and your wife is at age 60. So I wouldn't be... Yeah, I would... And here's what also is reality, Mike. Here's what's reality. You're not gonna have this linear spending increasing by inflation in a vacuum. So what we noticed, and the whole global economy noticed, for example, and during the financial crisis, people reduced their expenditures, even if they had the money.
It was the most amazing thing in our own office during the crisis. People all of a sudden started packing their lunch and bringing it to work. And
or skipping trips or getting great deals on trips.
And I made the comment to Scott, you know, their economics didn't change. They're still working. Their jobs are secure. But they responded to the environment around themselves and started spending less, even though these are people that are employed, that work at our company. Their incomes didn't go down. But that's because people are affected by their surroundings. So in your situation, I would comfortably take 4% out. The reality is,
and you might even say, let's take a little extra, allocate it for the first few years. If you've got some, you know, like we've always wanted to do this or do that. Because the hard part is this: you might both make it to your 90s, but you might not. The worst situation I've got is a client years ago. That he and his wife had always been planning this trip. Literally, I kid you not, they retire. They're on the plane ride on the way to New York to catch a flight to go over to Europe. She gets sick, ends up they have to come back home, didn't finish the trip. She ended up passing away. Never were able to. That's like the worst. We had a client pass away at his retirement party,
which was awful.
So,
Oh my gosh.
It's balancing all this stuff, right?
But here's what I would do, and I've had this conversation with a couple of clients that are very similar to you. They have plenty of disposable income. I would set it up so that the money went to my account on at least 3%. So I would take out at least 3% and have it automatically go to my checking account every year so that you spend it. Mm-hmm. Because what's going to happen... You didn't get to that amount of money without saving and having some pretty consistent habits, right?
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't have any savings.
You wouldn't have any savings. And the problem that you're going to face is it's going to be a very, very different thing for you to actually spend money. So you've recognized that by buying the single premium immediate annuities. And for the rest of the listeners, he didn't buy them. Mike was not purchasing these things through an insurance salesman. He went directly to a low-cost provider. But the reason I would have it automatically go into the checking account or savings account is so that you do spend it. So that you do spend it. I had a client that was worth multi-million dollars. He would not spend any money. I started sending him money out of his account on a monthly basis and told him he could never return it to me. Subsequently,
he's got a bunch of CDs at the local bank.
No, subsequently, subsequently, he only travels first class. He went to Antarctica, the Antarctic by himself and a friend. He brought a childhood friend back to Hungary with him. He's done all these things. And the reason is because it's not my money. He just didn't know how to spend it. Right?
Yeah, there's always that balance.
Would you use 4% or 3%?
Well, I would automatically move 3% into my account. Scott?
I would budget 4%. At 65, you're still healthy.
$2.5 million.
You're still healthy. All your other basic needs are met.
Yeah, I'm with
Scott. If things do better, right? I mean,
yeah.
The reality, not many people in their 80s are super active.
They don't.
You might get lucky, but so you want to make sure so you're going to be in a position where all your basic expenses are taken care of. Now it's discretionary stuff.
Yeah. If you.
That's why I said, even if you said, let's take a couple extra $100,000 and let's divide it over the first 5 years or something, spend a little extra the first five, I would have no problem with that either.
Yeah. But I would move $25,000 a quarter into your checking account and not move it back. And the reason is it's going to force you to actually spend it, because the hardest part you're going to have, Mike, is the day that money quits coming in, the paycheck, and you start drawing down your account.
Yeah.
It's psychological.
It's hard.
It's hard. Yeah. It's really hard.
It's fun saving, watching it grow. Yeah, checking it out. I'm sure you've got spreadsheets. Yeah, of course it is.
Right.
Yeah,
it's an accomplishment. It's like your fruits of your labor, and you can look at it and all that. And then suddenly one day, instead of stacking wood, you're chipping away at it.
Yeah, and this is the way you stored your labor over the years. Now the time is to spend some of that stored labor. So set it up so it automatically goes into your checking or savings account and spend it. Spend it.
And 4%.
That's what I'd be. Oh, yeah. I'd be very comfortable with that. $2.5 million.
Yeah. And if you told me, if you told me no one in your family lived beyond 80, it'd be a different story. But All right. Hey, appreciate the call, Mike.
All right, keep up the great work.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate your show.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Boy, there's not many people going to in-depth planning that he goes into.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Good at it.
But it's really interesting how every year retirement's a little bit different. Because some years, there's everyone's health's great, kids are great, everyone's doing great,
so
able to have a little more fun, goof off a little more. Other times, there's...
What's the first question you ask a client when they... So, Scott, you and I have had clients that have been with us for 20, 25 years. What's the first
question? By the way, we haven't... Neither one of us taken on a new client in about 15 years. Okay. We still have a handful of clients each because it keeps us in the game and we enjoy it.
Yeah, but the firm takes on hundreds of new clients a year. Hundreds and hundreds. But what's the first question you ask an existing client when they come in for a meeting?
Dude, where'd you get that shirt?
Okay.
Oh, about their health. Sorry, about
your health. How's your health?
Yeah, how's things going? Because it's the number one thing that derails a retirement.
Yeah,
we know how the finances are doing because we're their financial advisors when they come in.
Yeah,
so we know that we don't have to ask about that because in retirement it's really you need the financial resources and then it's really about what your health's like.
Yeah,
because once if you have an issue, suddenly I mean even things like a knee replacement or something, those things happen and you get sidelined for a long time. So. You want to join us, Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON. That'll put you on the program here. And we'll be in Colorado now talking with Abe. Abe, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah, so I'm in a situation where I think I'm pretty well set up for retirement under normal circumstances. However, I was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and that is a little uncertain of what my future will lie, what lies ahead of me. So I guess my general question is recommendations on how to manage my portfolio or my investments in general, knowing that the length of time I can work is a little uncertain, and then obviously there'll be some increased medical expenses post.
How old are you, Abe?
48.
And tell us about your life a little bit. Are you married with children?
No, I'm single, no kids.
Okay. And what do you owe on your home?
Well, I actually have an extensive real estate portfolio. I own three duplexes, all of which have a mortgage tied to them. But I estimate I have about $800,000 in equity.
And what's the overall value? What do you have in loans, and what's the overall market value of these duplexes?
Good question. I have that right here for you. I estimate the market value to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.8 million. And I owe about
a million.
Let's see. Yep, about a million.
And these are outside of your primary residence.
Well, I live in one side, and I.
And do you have any plan to get these paid off?
Well, I was thinking about recasting one that has the lowest balance and paying that off, and then leveraging that cash flow out of that unit to try to pay off the other units as more quickly than I would normally.
And are the interest rates all fairly similar?
Yes.
Okay, and what is the interest rate?
Right around just under 4%.
And how much do you earn at your job?
About 150.
And what do you have in your 401k? What do you have in your 401k?
I have 500,000.
Yeah, well, you've done well getting some money saved up.
And do you have a living trust in place?
I do not.
Okay.
I would, so if I were in your situation, I would focus on getting these duplex. I mean, you don't know what your future's like, right?
Yeah, and right. Parkinson's might be able to, such,
I mean, yeah, maybe work 25 more years, and maybe, who knows?
Everyone's journey in Parkinson's is different. The diagnosis and the onset comes in every form possible. I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
We don't know really how many more years you've got to work, right?
Correct. That's the unknown factor.
Yes.
And based on your discussions with your doctors, what is kind of a worst case scenario as far as number of years working?
Well, worst case scenario is I'm not working anymore. I was diagnosed 5 years ago.
So, 5 years ago.
So they say originally 5 to 10 years you can maintain a job. I'm still working at a high level of productivity now, so I've got at least another 5 more years in me, if not longer.
So I would work on getting the loan balances on these duplexes as low as possible.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you hit the point where suddenly you can no longer work, then you want to recast those whatever debt's still on there as long as possible. Because at that point, you can care less getting it paid off. You want cash flow.
Right, right.
Right now, you want to get those things paid off, so that way you've got the most amount of equity, which generates the most amount of cash.
I agree with that, and I put a living trust in place. And you, you know, and so that now where they have the electronic stimulus surgery, right? The longer you wait, the better that stuff becomes.
Right, but that's the $150K right there.
Yeah, yeah, but and it, so. But it's absolutely can be absolutely life changing. So you know, so I actually, my wife and I support the Lou Ruvo Brain Institute in Las Vegas, Nevada, who do they do great, great work with the Cleveland Clinic. About Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. So if you've ever get a chance to do some research or visit their website, it's the Lou Ruvo, R-U-V-O, Brain Institute in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Thank you. I'll take note of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I like the concept of just, let's just focus on getting this thing
paid. I like it as
well. Don't live like a pauper now.
Yeah, don't. Right? Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's what the hard part is, right?
Life at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
I can do while I can.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the you got to strike that balance.
So. What about cashing out of the market? Like the market's been going crazy for a few years. And
what
more
percent?
Recently,
what
more
percentage
so.
You? What percentage do you have in stocks?
It's mostly stocks.
And you know, most 48-year-olds that say perfect, keep it on stocks. We don't care what the value is.
Yeah, but I would probably have my portfolio probably. Yeah, 60% equities and 40%.
Yeah, I would probably have to scale it back a bit just in case. Let's say 5 years from now you can't work and you need to start taking some income from that.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't know if we have 5 more years of work or if you have 15 more years of work.
And that's a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both the emotional.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the whole bit. Like
part of the disease and also the from a financial planning.
Yeah. And well, some days you probably say, well, why am I saving any money at all? Right.
Yeah. I question why I'm going into the office. You know?
Yeah, somebody's used
to. I should be traveling the world.
Right? I mean, that's, you know, not knowing the future is actually probably sometimes better than knowing the future. So that's a balance you need to strike. So I would probably reallocate the 401k 60-40. I don't think I'd go much more than 70-30.
Yeah, I would agree with Pat.
And
maybe...
My heart goes out for you because you're a young man. You're 48 years of age, and so it's hard to strike that balance. What am I saving for? What's the point? Well, maybe it'll be super super important that you have that money in 20 years, or maybe it won't. It's that's you know. But what they do know is with Parkinson's, are you a bicyclist? Are you a cyclist?
I am actually.
All right, and you've read the research on cycling and how it delays the progression of the Parkinson's disease. You've probably done.
Yeah, I actually teach a spin class for fellow Parkinson's.
It's amazing that twitch muscle actually on the brain development and keeping it healthy is an amazing concept. So.
Yeah, but boxing as well.
Yeah, actually, I have a client that has Parkinson's that boxes, and she's in her 70s. She's in her 70s. She boxes a couple times a week.
It's any high intensity exercise. If your callers are care or you care, it's any high intensity exercise really helps out. Helps with the conditions.
My understanding though is it has to be an exercise that actually is fairly when you say high intensity. It also has to draw the hand and the muscle coordination to the brain. Correct.
Oh, that's part of it, yes. And also, actually, if you do math problems while you're exercising, it's even better for you.
Yeah, those are hard.
Isn't that funny? You know what? You know what's funny, Abe? You know what's funny, Abe, is I actually, I cycle, and I like to ride long distances and relatively slow, but I took all the measuring things off my bike, the ones that would tell you miles per hour and how far you've ridden, because... When I would ride, I would do math problems in my head the whole time by looking at the meters. And I thought it ruined my bike rides for me because the whole time I'd be doing math and my job requires math. So.
Right.
All right, Abe. Good luck.
Appreciate
to
the call.
And,
appreciate the call.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Hope this helps.
Thanks for your help.
All right. You know what's interesting, Pat, is in many aspects, we're all in Abe's position. We don't know.
Yes.
we just have the mark.
Right,
and we've certainly seen enough people at Hanson McLean over the years that have had a job where they're like, I've got 7 more years. And it's like doing time. They hate it.
I ran into a guy from high school recently, and I said, how you doing? He said, I get to retire in 7 years, 4 months, and 3 days. And I thought to myself, oh, how miserable.
And we've worked with lots of people with looking at their financial planning of trying to get that balance between today and the future. Yes, we need money when we're 85.
Probably need money when we're 85.
Probably. But if you're not digging if your job is miserable today, maybe you look at doing something different, even at a lower pay, and push out that retirement. Instead of 7 years, maybe it's 12 years.
You only have one life. And
we don't know. Yeah.
We only have one life. And while money is important to that life, it's the way you store your labor. It isn't the only thing.
We need to take a quick break. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit hansonmclean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
And we're going to continue with calls here in just a moment. If you want to join us, we would love to take your call, answer your question. It could be regarding anything, and you can make up a name if you want. Doesn't really matter. Don't make up too many of the details, otherwise it's not going to be helpful. I've got $20 million. That's not going to be helpful.
Yes.
But if it's you'd rather be a little more anonymous, just make up a name. And love to take your call. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of the program. It's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. Before we go back to the calls here, and we will jump here in just a second, interest rates have come up, which for savers, actually banks are lagging behind on increasing their savings rates, but they're clearly out there to be had.
Yes. Yeah. If you shop banks right now,
yes,
it is worth the time and energy to shop savings accounts at banks. If you are in a cash position, or it's worth the time and energy to ask the branch manager if you have a significant balance of, let's say, over $50,000 in a bank account, to ask the branch manager.
When the big banks, will they increase it too? The big ones?
Yeah, they've got some latitude.
Yeah. Anyway, but
the smaller banks have lots of latitude to, and you don't really care where you bank as long as it's FDIC insured from a safety standpoint. The servicing can be completely different.
That's right. But we've also seen interest rates on mortgages have risen dramatically.
Significantly.
Well, I shouldn't say dramatically,
but it's 25. They've risen 25% from 3 to 4. It's a big jump.
Higher than that. They're higher than 4% now.
Yeah.
4.5+. But here's the challenge with that. Here's what this means. It's, let's say if you haven't refinanced, you kind of missed it.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll come back again, but I wouldn't be betting on that one. Unless your rate is still higher than what it is today.
You probably missed it.
But we're seeing a lot of places, we've seen home prices continue to increase.
Which is surprising. Well, some areas it just has to do with the job market and the lack of affordable housing.
But a 1% increase in an interest rate equates to about a 12.5% increase in your payment.
So you would think that home prices...
12.5%. And interest rates are up more than 1% from their low.
So you would think home prices would actually either stay the same or drop
everything else being equal. Which is impossible, of course. But if everything were equal, whatever the corresponding increase would be, we'd see some decline in home values, just mathematically. It's how most people buy a home based on monthly payments. So as an example, if someone's taking out a $500,000 loan today, a 4% rate, their payment would be $2,380, roughly. At 5%, their payment would be $2,680, $300 more a month, 12.5% increase.
So the point being is,
if you're planning on buying and you're going to be in the same area for a long time, I would do
and your financing.
And your financing. I would, I don't think I'd wait too long.
No.
But it needs to be a long-term hold, just like any other asset we talk about long-term.
And what's long-term in a home?
5+ years.
At least 5.
It would not be surprising if we saw a decrease in some real estate values.
As interest rates rise.
No one's ever going to predict that. You talk to the economists, it's always next year. Yeah, we see it. There'll be a modest increase next year. It's always the same thing. Modest increase. And then they don't. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
I'd be surprised if there was a modest increase.
Nobody knows.
That is correct. But I would be surprised as interest rates go up.
Of a continued increase.
Especially if we're not seeing wages rise.
Yeah. All right, let's take some calls. 1-888-2-HANSEN to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Let's talk with Vicki.
I just have a question, and it's about, you know, you hear so many things, and I read a lot of things about money. I'm 59 years old, and what is your idea on how much, average speaking, you have to actually retire?
Is it, that is the question, right?
Yeah,
and in fact, there was a book written a number of years ago called The Number.
What is the number?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the question. What is the number? Right? So
let me tell you a story. So I've been doing this a long time. And this was probably 20 some years ago. And this guy comes to me and he worked for a large company. And the company was offering him a retirement offer. And it was one of these weird retirement offers where he was like early 50s and he was going to get lifetime medical and a pension lump sum.
But he wasn't a good saver, right?
He had nothing. So he comes in, not a dime saved, doesn't own a house, owns nothing. But was going to get a pension of like $220,000 lump sum. And he comes to us and he wanted to know how much he could expect to generate an income on this. Right? He's years away from Social Security. What he did have going for him was medical from this company. And so my first thought is, I'm going to have to, you know, be the bearer of bad news that there's no way this guy can afford to retire. So I said, you can probably, whatever the number is, like $700 a month is what these dollars could generate. $700 a month.
And you're thinking that's the end of it. You're never going to see
the
guy.
And he said, $700? That's fantastic. And I said, what? He says, oh, yeah, my brother owns this property on this river out in Oregon. And he says I can put my trailer there and just live there rent free and fish all day long. So he says, that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to go. And live on the river and fish. And this is great. I had no idea I can afford to retire. Thank you for helping me out.
And Scott said, I didn't think he had enough to retire either. So the answer to your question is, it depends on what's going out. Matters if you, how much number.
If you want to live in a beat up trailer on some family member's property in the middle of nowhere,
then the numbers,
you don't need much.
Then the number's 220,000. But... So the question is, right, so this is where, this is in our 7 personal decision points, and there's a tutorial on our website, hansonmclean.com. It actually, the first question that in there is, how much money do I need to retire, right? What's the dollar amount that I need to retire?
And the best way to come about this is by really, first of all, just what's going through the checkbook right now? What's our current standard of living, right?
Okay.
So not what a budget is, because what happens is when people put
budgets. You forget
budgets,
what you spend at Starbucks and everything else.
And most people, less than 5% of the population, actually live on a budget. Most people spend what's coming in.
So if you look at what's coming in, then you say, all right, if at retirement, are there going to be any expenses that are no longer going to be there?
As an example. Is my house going to be paid for?
That's probably the biggie. Is my house going to be?
I'm no longer putting money into Social Security. I'm no longer making contributions into my company retirement plan, my 401k or 403b or 457. So that isn't. So what am I living on today, right? What expenses are going to go away?
And then are there going to be any new expenses to consider? And then we can figure out what's that monthly nut. And from there, we can work backwards and say, okay, if we need to generate $5,000 a month,
then we need approximately $1.2 million.
Okay.
Excuse me, $1.5 million. So.
All right. Well, that's very helpful, actually.
So how you're 59. Is your home paid for?
It is nearly paid for. It has $140,000 left on the mortgage.
Okay. And how much do you have in your 401ks or IRAs?
I have about $200,000 in 401k, and then I do keep, besides my income from a self-employed job, I have another side business. I flip some houses.
Okay.
And so I keep that money liquid money, and that's probably around $350,000 in cash.
Okay.
So I just keep that, and then it just keeps going out and coming back and going out and coming back.
And do you have a monthly pension?
I don't.
Okay. Are you married?
No.
So that $350,000.
What's your income you make?
It's anywhere, if I just do my regular business, not the flipping aside, it's anywhere from $75,000 to $130,000 a year.
Okay. Your number is a long way away, Vicky.
If you want to maintain your lifestyle.
If you want to maintain your lifestyle, you need significantly more money.
I do.
Yes, significantly
more. I do have a couple properties, though, to sell. I mean, I should say one is a home that's paid for that, you know, when I do retire or get closer, I would sell it.
And what's the value of that?
Approximately $600,000, maybe $650,000.
Okay. And who lives there now?
My grandfather.
Okay. And what other properties?
Okay.
And then I have a rental next to my house that I currently live in. So I do rent that out and get an income from that. But I did think of all kinds of things. I live in kind of an expensive house, and I probably could sell it for maybe $700,000.
Okay.
So, as a general rule, figure at this age for retirement, about a 4% withdrawal from whatever savings you've got.
So what that means is, in order to generate $80,000 a year in income, you would need approximately $2 million.
Okay, in order to keep pace with inflation, et cetera. That's just kind of a bare rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what?
Do you have other assets you just mentioned?
That add up significantly, which brightens the outlook. Which brightens the outlook. How much is the rental worth?
You know, honestly, I'm not really certain on that one. I just know my house is about 700 and the other one's about 6 to 650.
Okay.
I'm really not sure on the other.
And you may decide to keep the rental in retirement. It may generate enough income that it actually doesn't make sense to sell that. But the rule of thumb is about 4% distribution in order to retire comfortably. And your income between 75 and 130, which, by the way, is a big swing.
Right. It just depends on how much I work. And that does not count the flipping, which, you know, does generate money. Only I use that. I guess when I retire, I will just take that
Here's
money
the,
back.
Here's the challenge with that strategy is you've been flipping homes in a rising real estate market.
I assume. Mm-hmm. How long have you been flipping homes?
Probably over the past 4 years, five years.
Yeah. So when the market goes through another cycle in the future, you won't have any, you're not going to be able to flip and make gains when prices are flat or declining.
Although, I mean, honestly speaking, I've just been watching the market now, and I have you make more when you buy low because that's how you make your money.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like at least in my area, always has been a market where there are crummy houses that you can fix up and sell to make money.
In some markets.
Yeah.
But in a market decline that we saw the last time where, you know, no one made money flipping.
No.
They made money.
Sure you don't have any loans on them.
Yeah. Which you can, you know, you can always, if you don't flip, you can rent. But the number for you.
But I wouldn't count those gains as something that's going to continue in every year.
Yeah.
It's kind of like saying, hey, I made 15% on the stock market because the stock market's up 15%. So I'm just going to assume that I'm going to make that year in and year out.
Yeah. So the number for you would be $2 million.
Okay.
All righty.
Geez, thank you. Yeah,
all right,
thanks,
Vicky.
A lot for your time.
Okay. All right, appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Let's continue on with Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program. We're talking with Margaret in Sacramento.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Hey, I just have a pretty quick and simple question. I'm 64. I just turned 64. planning to retire in June of 2020. My house will be paid off and we have no other debt.
Wow, good for you.
And my question is, my husband is 61, so he's younger, and I want to know if he can retire with me.
Okay.
What's your... do you want him to retire with you?
I do. Okay. He works so hard. He's got a very grueling job, and I could probably retire sooner, but I don't want to because I feel guilty.
All right.
And I want the house to be paid off.
So tell us a little bit about your financial situation. How much money do you have put in IRAs or 401ks or defined benefits?
My husband, I just checked our numbers. He's got $410K currently and contributing 15% of his income. And I have 200 and, let me do my math, 250K.
And do you, will either of you receive a monthly pension?
He's going to receive a small monthly pension from an old union he had, but...
A few hundred dollars a month?
I'm sorry?
A few hundred dollars a month? How much will we be getting?
Yeah, probably a few hundred dollars a month from that one.
And what's your, what are your both earnings, your wages?
Total is about 110K a year.
Who earns what here?
Fred, my husband, earns all the money, most of the money.
Okay.
He earns three quarters of that.
Okay, so he's earning about 80,000 and you're 30,000 or somewhere in there.
Yeah. A little bit, probably a little bit more for him, depending on all the overtime he works.
So here's the here's the challenge right now. So you're talking about retiring, but your income relative to your husband's relatively small.
So you can retire.
Right.
Your husband may not be able to. And you're just going to have to get over that guilt.
How much is your... That's a whole other issue entirely. So.
I guess. Yeah. After 40 years, I feel a little guilty.
Yeah. So how much is your mortgage payment?
Right now...
Or how much are you paying each month, I should say.
Yeah, we're paying $2,100 a month.
And how much will you both be receiving in Social Security benefits?
I think it's going to be, if I looked at it last, it's going to be about $4,200 a month.
So
he's 61 today. You're looking at in 3 years retirement. He'll be 64.
Yeah. It's close.
So with your home paid off,
so that
the fact is, the question really is, what kind of a lifestyle do you want? And here's what we've found over the years. First of all, everyone's different. We've had people come to us and say, I want to retire, but I'm not going to retire unless I could be totally certain that my lifestyle won't change. I have the same amount of income. And we've talked to people who couldn't stand their job. They said, I don't care. I'm going to keep working longer till I have enough so I'm totally certain I can maintain my same standard of living. We've had others say, you know, I cannot stand my job. I'm willing to have less cash flow if it means I don't have to work anymore, right? And then sometimes we've seen the opposite. Someone's like, I don't want to retire unless I can have tons of money. And everyone's different. So looking at a high-level view here.
Your income's going to be about $8,500. Well, so what we do is we actually, in the 7 personal decision points, we actually determine what you're living on now, right? And so you take your income minus your Social Security taxes minus what you're putting into your retirement plan, and that's what you're living on. Then you look at the expenses that are going to go away in retirement, which would be your house payment.
It's hard to know. Ballparking,
I would say, from the little bit of information you've shared with us so far, you're probably going to be able to do it.
And it depends what his pension is. I'd actually say... We don't give plugs too often but you would benefit from meeting with one of our advisors and going through the our 7 personal decision point process.
But because you're close.
Yeah.
It's not a slam dunk. If you had told me that your pension was $4,000 a month,
obviously,
it'd be easy, but it's not a slam dunk, but it's close.
But and the fact you're working on getting your home paid off, that is tremendous there. You could swing it. Yeah. I think you could swing it. The question is, would it result in a reduction of your lifestyle, and is that something you want to do? So, and the only way to really answer that is by going through this process that we put our...
But it's close.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad it's close. I feel better. I mean, really hard. It's just that the job he does is wearing out his body, so it's just...
But you could know exactly... We're we're ballparking it. If you go through the seven personal decision points, you will know exactly whether you can do it or not. You're just not. It won't be two guys on a radio show in a 4 minute conversation helping you decide whether you can retire
the rest of your life.
Well, you're making me feel a little better. He might feel a little better too.
Well, if you go through the process, you'll know exactly where
you'll know exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, and how do I find out about that process?
You just call our office or go to our website.
Okay.
HansonMcLean.com. Okay. So, and for the rest of the listeners, if you don't want to come into our office, go to our website. We have a webinar that brings you through the seven personal decision
and
points.
And my book. Go to...
Or read Scott's book.
HansonMcLean.com/book.
We'll give you a discount.
Actually, we'll send you our book. Hold on, we'll send you a book.
Yeah, we'll send you a book.
Hold on, we'll get your address. We'll put you on hold here. Thanks thanks for calling, Margaret.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, all right, thanks. Sounds nice.
Wow, that made my
very
day.
Nice.
It's a...
But it is.
You know, she mentioned here that her husband, it's a physically demanding job, right?
That's different,
Yes. So a number of years ago, Alan Greenspan said something about how people should, instead of planning on retiring, continue to work. There's no reason that people should stop working. He said that. I thought, well, that's one thing when you're an intellectual and your job is all your brain. But when you're combining with your physical body.
Yeah, like the most laborious thing he does is hold an umbrella.
Right? He probably has someone hold his umbrella.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
But there's clearly a lot of jobs that...
they're hard on the body.
Yeah, and I get that.
And there's lots of jobs that are hard on the brain. Stress.
That's true.
I've had clients.
There's no question.
I had a client, wasn't quite ready to retire. We talked about it. He lowered his standard of living because his job was actually killing him in stress. He said, I get up every morning almost at the verge of tears because I cannot stand going into that office.
Well, how many times have you seen people that want to retire and as they start talking about their job, you just see the stress and you're like,
what are you doing?
You can't do this for another 5 years. Yeah. What's the point? It's going to shorten your life expectancy and you're going to see if your marriage survives and everything else at this point.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's interesting. As financial advisors, I think, you know, I got an email this last week. Someone was asking how our returns compare to the S&P 500 and justify our fees.
Well, then why don't you buy the S&P 500?
And I said, and I didn't even, I,
and justify the fees.
I actually did not respond to the email. I thought, so look, a good financial advisor, whether it's a Hanson McLean financial advisor, another financial advisor, a good financial advisor is one that helps somebody figure out what are they trying to accomplish in life? What's important to them in life? Then designing the finances around that to give them the greatest chance of being able to accomplish what it is that they want and what's important to them. That's really what it's about.
Yeah, and mitigating risk.
And reduce your risk. And sometimes that's just looking at someone and saying, look, you can continue this path and work for another 6 years at the company that you absolutely hate.
Or
let's see if we can figure out some other way to swing this.
And
we've had people leave their career mid-50s and go do something, a lower paid job, something that they enjoy, and defer their retirement date and
we're happier.
Much happier.
Yeah. But we're proud of our returns. It's not that we're embarrassed by our returns of our portfolios. We're proud of them.
It's just that you don't go to a financial advisor's job is not to get excess returns from the overall markets. First of all, we don't believe it's possible for people to get excess returns by outsmarting the next guy.
But you do want to be rewarded for the risk that you put into a portfolio.
And you want to reduce risk where you can and make sure you can have the highest probability of your desired outcome.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, and if you want to compare a portfolio to the S&P 500 and you want to do better...
Well, one of our largest holdings is the S&P 500.
Yeah. Why don't you just leverage the S&P 500 up?
Right? You're not recommending that.
No.
All right.
Would actually be a little crazy, but you would have
ETFs out.
I know. You'd have excess returns on the S&P 500 when it is up.
Yeah.
If you leverage it.
Worse returns on the way down.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Leverage. A lever.
And if you want to join us as well, 1-888-2 Hanson, we're with Mary.
Hi. Yes, I am wondering about a whole life policy that I've had. My parents bought it for me when I was just a teenager. So we've paid off the whole life, and now we're building on to what they call as dividends. Mm-hmm. And I've heard multiple times that those are not good. I'm basically wasting my money.
Maybe. Maybe not. I wouldn't recommend you buy one today, but if you have one,
Some of those old contracts are pretty good.
Are pretty good. So tell us a little bit about it. How much is the face value on the contract?
My parents bought it for me at $10,000.
And it's probably going to have a ton of paid-up additions now. Is that correct?
Yes. I believe last time my husband showed me the... this is, he caught me off guard. But the last time we looked at the statement, which I don't even think that we get anymore, but I know we're still paying into it from our bank statements, but it was at 16.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so some of these old, some of the old contracts, they might have a minimum. If you kind of figure out the internal rate of return, could some of them are actually pretty good, 4% guaranteed minimum return. I would, at a minimum, I'd quit paying into this.
Exactly.
Okay.
There's no reason you need to keep paying into it.
What's the cash value in the contract?
That I don't know.
It can't be.
It might be $8,000 or $9,000.
Yeah. I just would quit paying. I'd quit paying for it. And I think of these as the last, my last emergency dollars that I needed.
Oh,
I'd plan on just keeping it and having it until you, unless you need the money during your lifetime, I'd plan on just having the last dollars you'd ever spend. And odds are it goes, was passed down to heirs.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for the rest of the listeners,
don't bother cashing it
for the
now.
Rest of you the listeners, this is not an endorsement for the purchase of whole life insurance,
but there are times when it still makes sense for whole life insurance.
It can make sense. Yeah. But by you saying that,
95% of the time, I think it's a waste.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
Maybe 99% of the time.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, sometimes for estate planning purposes.
It may make sense. Yeah. But if you've got an old contract like this, some of them have guarantees in there that the insurance company would love it if you dropped those contracts because they many of them they lose money on. So I just leave it alone and not worry about quit putting more money into it. All righty?
Okay.
All right.
Just keep track in our... in our life insurance folders for when I pass, that they know to go and contact it with Prudential.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
and
exactly right.
And
we are out of time, unfortunately. You can always get a podcast of this program, HanselMcLean.com. While you're there, there's a ton of stuff in our learning library, so check that out as well.
All right.
We will see you next week. This has been Hansel McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.